السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرتك عبد القادر صاحب، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. متساد، I hope you are in the best of health. 17 days, subhanAllah. What beautiful atmosphere, nasihat and advice from your side. Iftisab, the platform is yours this morning.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم وسليم كريم. جزاك الله خيرا to our technicians, brother Junaid Khan and brother Zakaria. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 17th of Ramadan Mubarak, 1445. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, today we focus on chapter 25, Suratul Furqan, the criterion, and verse number 72. We're still continuing with Ibadur Rahman, the true, devoted, dedicated servants and slaves of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and what are their qualities. And each one of us should try and imbue and inculcate these qualities. Chapter 25, verse 72, وَالَّذِينَ, and they are those people, لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. La yashhaduna zur will have various connotations. They do not give testimony, false testimony, and false evidence. They do not take false oaths. They do not lie, whether in public or in the court, or whether in their private life. That is a sign of nifaq and hypocrisy. So these are the people, وَجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. Almighty Allah states, you must abstain and refrain from lying, forgeries, and false evidence and false oaths. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And when they pass some futile activity, they pass by honorably with respect. See three examples. We have to go sometime to the shops, to the bazaar, to the market, to the malls. And when we go there, they have a musical festival. They have the men or the women dancing there. So we don't just stand there and admire them, we walk past quickly there. Therefore, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, was a genius. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, used to say, "An-nasu 'iyalun li Abi Hanifa fil fiqh." The people are the children of Imam Abu Hanifa in fiqh, in jurisprudence, in fatawa, in verdicts, and masla masail, and so forth. He said, from this verse here, we can prove that alatul ghina, that the alat, the instruments of music, are not permissible. So, one example. Second, you know, when you fly from this town to that town, one city to another, one country to another, one continent to another, many a time you will find that there at the airports or port of entry, they have some vague, various festivals and celebrations and what have you. Once I was landing in Colombo. Colombo is the capital there of Sri Lanka, Ceylon. And because I wear the long kurta, the long thobe, the long robe, so now they didn't know who's who in the zoo, you know. So then they wanted to put a garland on me also. So I asked them, what you're doing? He said, no, there's a big festival going on and all the Arab countries and Asian countries are invited. So we thought you part of the delegation. They don't know what they're doing, you see. So we must tell them, hey, we have got nothing to do with this, and just let me move from here quickly. So we idha marr marru bil laghwi marru kirama. A true Muslim, remember, will just walk past quickly and go there, past that, not admire it, find out more, who's acting here, who's dancing here, who's jiving here, and which band is playing, and so forth. So these are examples of that. Sometime in the plane, sometime in the taxi, in the bus, wherever we are traveling, you find some unsavory activities there. So shun it and turn away from it. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Today this ummah says that we are to kill time, we are to pass time because we are fasting. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks about the true qualities of the true believers. And what Almighty Allah states in the beginning of the 18th juz, the 18th surah, the beginning of chapter 23 and verse number 3. Almighty Allah states, chapter 23 and verse 3, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُؤْرِدُونَ. They are those people, they turn away and they shun all futile speech and futile activities. Muslim today in Ramadan on Eid day, they will say, let us go and arrange a comedy show, you see. So these are all futile activities and is not acceptable. It's not acceptable, and not permissible for us in Muslims to participate in these futile speech and futile activities. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala grant us the understanding. Today, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, is the 17th of Ramadan. And 17th of Ramadan for us Muslims is a special, special day. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala called it Yawm al-Furqan. The day of distinction, the day of criterion, and that was a Friday, the second year of the Hijrah, and Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were 313 Sahaba and companions. On the other side was Abu Jahl and his comrades and cronies, 1,000 of them approximately, and the battle ensued 130-140 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara and known as Ghazwat to Badr al-Kubra. And this was the great epic battle there. The Muslims, 14 of them became shuhada and martyrs, and Badri Sahaba are one of the greatest companions of the Master alayhi salatu wasalam. And from them Abu Jahl was dispatched straight to Jahannam, and he died on a Friday in Ramadan, but it helped him nothing because he died without Iman and Islam. And we see 70 of them were dispatched straight to Jahannam and the hellfire, 70 taken captive. So remember, 17 Ramadan is a special day for us, Yawm al-Badrin and Yawm al-Furqan. And when you're going for Umrah, either when you're going to Medina or coming to Makkah, go and visit Badr and go show your respect there to the Shuhada of Badr, 14 of them. So that is the Shan, and that are the qualities of the true Muslim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today is day 174 of the Gaza genocide. So let us give you the news, views and interviews from around the world, nationally, internationally, globally. You Gautengers, you got 1-2 minutes left, so take your tablets, make your dua, and inshallah make your niyat as well, and then it will be time for you to start fasting inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. 2 jutlas dispatched to death, and remember, to Jahannam. We say Alhamdulillah. We have no sympathy, empathy for the jutlas who are murdering, killing our babies, children and infants and people. So we say we're very happy about that. Israeli continues with a non-stop bombing there in Gaza and Rafah, and this is against the United Nations. But they say they are special people, they don't have to worry about them. Go and study the resolutions passed against various nations. The biggest violators are who? Are Israel, remember that. And why? Because they feel they have Uncle Sam, America's veto, and therefore we declare and say, and you can quote this anywhere in the world. The biggest super terrorists, remember, are who? Are the Israelis and the Americans, both of them a threat to humanity and to peace everywhere in the world. So most Americans, this are the public now, they're against Israel. How Allah Ta'ala made him turn. You see, when they, Hamas, worked it out, 7th October, we must teach these Jutlas and Americans a great lesson. It was a masterpiece move, you know. So what they did, Saudis are haramis, as far as the government go, pakka, murtad, shaitans. So remember, they were on the verge of making the peace deal and normalizing ties with Israel. So they scuttled that, alhamdulillah. And then the Jutlas were preparing in April this year, there to get slaughtering and sacrificing their red heifer, their red cows and all that, to prepare their people that now we're getting ready to build the third temple and so forth. So remember, Hamas came and upset everything, and it gave Americans a shock, and all the Jutlas they sent to hell. We say alhamdulillah, we're very happy about it. United Nations says that Israel is using food and starving the people, and this is a man-made starvation. Remember, it is not a natural occurrence. So therefore, remember, they're targeting the children and starving the people of Gaza. So this is what the Jutlas do. And that is what the Americans did. Remember, the Jutli, the Harami, you Muslims need to wake up as well. Whenever you speak to non-Muslims, you must have your facts on your fingertips. So you must know what you are speaking. So you must remind them that your Jutli, your Harami, your Jewess, Madeleine Albright, may she rot in hell. So remember, on a Full View TV interview, she said that when she was asked, is it worth it to kill and murder 500,000 Iraqi children? She said, yes, it's worth it. So these are the lovers of human rights. These are the lovers of democracy. These are the lovers, you know what I mean by lovers, inverted commas. So these are the lovers, remember, of peace and so forth, to murder 500,000 children. Until today, Iraq has not recovered completely, remember this. Spain, they are supporting Palestine, so Spain airdrops 26 tons of food. So although they're trying, but it is a drop in the ocean. U.S. wants to collapse the government of Israel, led by Bibi Netanyahu. So very good, let the Haramis fight among themselves. Israel killed 7 people in Lebanon. Hezbollah, we call them Hezbollah Shaitan, retaliate. Let me give you one figure here that will shock you. This is according to the Israeli media. You know, they have different newspapers and what have you. So they call it Ma'ariv, or whatever it is called with the M. So they have stated that 750,000 Jutlas Israelis have left Israel. And I'm telling you that is still an understatement. It's closer to 1 million Jutlas have left, and most of them have left for good. We're not coming back. So go as it is. You have stolen the land, came in as squatters and invaders. Now Jazeera is under threat because they're exposing all the war crimes and genocide and ethnic cleansing of Israel. And America that is complicit in this crime. And you know, Jazeera is not some Mickey Mouse station. So remember, they have international correspondents and well-seasoned journalists, and they have captured the imagination of the world in the English one and in the Arabic world. So the true news they're giving, you know, Shirin Abu Akila, they say Abu Akleh, we mustn't be like the fools, pronounce the words properly, Palestinian Christian, she was not Muslim. And when she was exposing them, premeditated murder was committed, remember, by the Israelis, a war crime. Listen to this one here. All you Jutlas, all you Jews, all you sympathizers of Israel, listen to this from the horse's mouth. So now the Israeli army guys, the chiefs, the main guys, they came and sit with the rabbi and told the rabbi, you have to tell your people to conscript into the army. We are losing this war against Hamas, and we need you. listen to the response of the rabbi. The rabbi say, for us, it is better we get killed by the Arabs than join you, the immoral army of Israel, killing babies and children. What an answer the rabbi gave. I sent it out yesterday. I paraphrased it a bit, remember that. So that is what, at least this rabbi spoke some sense, that everybody is witnessing the genocide, ethnic cleansing, war and crime, war crimes and crimes against humanity by the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime, Hitler's children. Listen to what they said in yesterday's news. The British Army, and that will be Sunak as the commander-in-chief, the Indian commander-in-chief. So he and his army would only last for 2 months against Russia. Putin and his army will collapse them and finish them up in 2 months. That's why we like Putin. Putin is a big harami in these kind cases. We need big haramis to put them in the right place. Now see, I'm teaching you a lesson, you Israelis, because you are donkeys, you know. Quran calls you donkeys. Surah number 62, verse number 5, Kamathalil himari yahmilu asfara. Their example of the rabbis and their scholars is like that of donkeys carrying encyclopedias. They practice nothing on it, majority of them. So now what is happening? The more oppression goes on in Gaza, the more the youth are getting recruited into Hamas. So that will be the natural result. Okay, you want to kill my father, mother, brother, sister, whoever. So when I grow up, I want to put a bullet through you first and then I'll ask questions. That's exactly what you are doing. And we will justify it. We won't condemn them. So BB, this is now written in the Haaretz newspaper. BB Netanyahu spits in the face of the Israeli soldiers. Among themselves, there are so many battles and so much infighting. Thereafter, now listen to these two items of news for you South Africans. You need to wake up, you know. In 2 months' time is elections, you know that, right? 29th of May. So Duduzani Zuma, so he is Jacob Zuma, who was the president of South Africa, JZ. So his son will become a major player of the MK. You see that? So Zuma, if you know anything of Zuma, not that I'm a supporter of him or ANC, you all know that. I never ever voted ANC or DA or EFF and all these people. But what is the facts? We must speak. So when they were there in Robben Island, so Zuma didn't go to school and high school. He just went to primary school. And remember, but when they used to play chess, you know, they used to beat everybody. They used to beat Mandela, beat, you understand, Becky and Peter, you understand, Katrada and a whole lot. He was a master chess player, if you know anything of Zuma. So Zuma is playing his cards now, in cards in chess, well. He's training his son, hey, Duduzana, you see, we're going to go, and we're going to go back to parliament. So that's his aim. You need to understand what's happening. Now the Freedom Front, this is the Boerer, right? So listen to this news item. This is FF. So there's one party called FF Plus, right? So it's South African politics, run by the Boerer, by the whites. So the Freedom Front, the Boerer says, and these are their black supporters, they say, you know what, we're fed up of the black rule now, we can't run the country, so let the whites run the country. Now how you like that? The Boerer got the blacks to say these type of things here. Saudi Arabia, I told you, MBS and all you Salafi scholars, hang your heads in shame. I told you MBS is a pakka murtad harami and shaitan's child. So Saudi Arabia sends a beauty queen. And you know what she wears? She wears half naked clothes and then she got the flag of Saudi Arabia, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, across there. So I'm asking you, what doubt you got that in MBS and in this beauty queen and so forth, whole lot murtads, وَمَنْ شَكَّ فِي كُفْرِهِ. If you still got doubt regarding MBS, you can quote me in any part of the world, you yourself, you murtad and out of the fold of Islam. Look at all these characters, you must remember. Okay, let me give you two more, then I'll come to that. Singapore fixed up Israel. Israel embassy sent out a tweet. So they spoke about the Quran and so forth. The Singapore Ministry of Internal Affairs they said, hey, you better remove that tweet immediately. We got no problems here, and you creating problems here. So again, humiliated there in Singapore. That is what Allah said, wherever the jutlas are, Allah will humiliate and disgrace them. And now they're taking on our Muslim minister, Naledi Pandor, the board of deputies, you understand, Jewish board of deputies, they're attacking her and so forth. Go to hell, man. This is South Africa. It's not some Jewish town and Jewish place. This, you don't like it, you pick up and get back to Israel. You're not a liability to us South Africans as far as we are concerned. See, I give you three examples. Think properly. This happened now recently. So the Grand Mufti or Big Mufti of Egypt, right? Ali Jumu'ah. He went to the Cairo University to address the students. Now, he's a puppet of Sisi, of the Pharaoh, right? And then he says, no, what Hamas did is wrong, and does, and all that. Those students told him, hey, you're not a mufti. You know what you are, Ibn al-Kalb. Oh, you son of a dog. We will never allow you to speak here. They humiliated, disgraced him, and they got rid of him. So this is what happened to him. Go read about it, Ali. I don't want to take his first name. This chap whose first name is that of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I find it very difficult to take Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name for these haramis. So that is one incident. This other incident took place, remember some time ago, it was Sudeis in Canada or wherever he was, and he made Assalamu Alaikum. Then he gave a talk, or that person stood up, he said, Sudeis, but you the one who's supporting, you must remember you're America, you're supporting your Saudis, you are just agents of America. And the way he humiliated Sudeis in full view and everything is on video, is gone viral again. So that's the lesson I'm telling you. All these Maulvis, all these sheikhs and imams who are close to governments, South African government, Pakistan government, Arab governments, Allah humiliates them, disgraces them. What do you think these politicians are doing? They just use you, and you think that, no, me, I'm the main guy. Like, so you're the idiot to think that. See how Allah Ta'ala disgraced Sudeis. I call him a traitor, you must remember that. The Ghaddar. And remember Ali Jumu'ah and these scholars of Egypt were the government, they complete traitors, remember that. So that is what you should understand and so forth. And today, mashallah, is Yawm al-Furqan, 17th of Ramadan. So our program will be, inshallah, there today between 8:30 and 9, that Brother Abu Bakr Rawat Ud Mu'azahid, 11 to 12, we will discuss i'tikaf in the last 10 days and 10 nights of Ramadan Mubarak. So that will be between 11 and 12, and 1 to 2 inshallah al-Aziz will be the tafsir and commentary of the Noble Quran. Maulana Salim Karim, we have 10 minutes exactly inshallah for the sharpshoot rapid fire Q&A inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum Mufti Sahab. Is it not that when we go for Umrah or Hajj, we are indirectly giving our money to the Murtad MDC? Is it okay?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We just need to rectify the question. The person maybe who sent in the question, he made a mistake. It's not MBC, it's MBZ. So you must remember, or MBS, you must remember, not Z. This MBZ also is right, but he is in Emirates. And Murtad bin Zindiq, and here in Saudi is MBS, Murtad bin Shaitan. So you got it now? So always, even the questions must be typed out correctly and so forth. We mustn't mix things up. So 100%. So yesterday a person sent me a message and said, it's not right what you are doing. Why are you discouraging people to go for Hajj and Umrah? So I replied, it was an email. So I said, if first Hajj is first upon you, compulsory upon you, you go. And if it is a Nafil Hajj, Nafil Umrah, voluntary, you've been there already once, twice. So instead of going there, go to Aqsa. Could give that same amount of money, you must remember, to the Mujahideen. So many parts in the world, the Muslims are suffering. For what you going? Majority of the Muslims go there for holiday. Majority of them go there for shopping spree. Majority of them go there because they have enough money. just to show that we are Mr. Somebody who's who in the zoo, and we stayed in this hotel and so forth. It is a status symbol. So I don't say all, but majority, we all know what is the case. 100%, yet you are, now you must remember, supporting MBS indirectly. So therefore, our fatwa is this. We will not say it's not permissible, but we will say that we will discourage people to go for nafil hajj, voluntary hajj, and umrah upon umrah upon umrah. So rather you take that money and use it for the mujahideen and the upliftment of the ummah that are suffering in Burma, in Kashmir, in India, in Syria, in Palestine, South Africa. How many poor Muslims and people there are, that money could be well spent there. So that is our advice regarding that issue.
Of course, if a home is jointly owned by both spouses and the wife passes away, how would the inheritance work? Question number two, is the distribution of inheritance the same on the death of a male or and females?
Okay, this question, we need some introduction to it. You see, the day you got married, O Muslim, you Abdullah, you are the male. You Amatullah, you are the female. Now when you got married, so I mentioned this just the other day, I think. So I told you there are various, remember, matrimonial regimes in South Africa. When you register your marriage, so there by the home affairs, whatever you want to, so you go there and it's wajib, compulsory upon you to register your marriage, ANC. Got nothing to do with a political party and government. Anti-nuptial contract, excluding without the accrual system. So that is compulsory. Now when you do that, and now you draw up your Islamic will, so nobody can contest it, because remember, everything is according to Sharia and according to the legal status as well. So you go ask the lawyer, you go ask the ulama and the scholars, the imam, the maulanas, muftis, they'll give you the advice. So that's one scenario we should always know. Second one is, it seems like this couple here, A, B, C and X, Y, Z, they went to register their marriage in COP, Community of Property. So therefore, both of them are 50-50% stakeholders. So remember, if they agree on it and they're happy on it, so then it could be permissible, but we discourage that normally. Okay, so let's take it now. So what happens in a case like that? So husband passes away, wife passes away. So we give you both scenarios. We don't know who the other heirs are, but we'll just simplify it for you. So the husband passed away. So in that case there, that he share whatever belongs to him at the time of death, all that will go into the estate. What belongs to you, sister, that you are the wife, you are the widow now, so that will remain with you and will not constitute part of your husband's estate. So first will be burial expenses. Second will be the debts of the deceased, personal debts, business debts, corporate debts, all that will be included. And you must pay the creditors immediately, not after 40 days and 100 days. Justice delayed is justice denied. And maybe your husband, late husband, now he made wasiya, he bequeathed for the neighbor or XYZ person or his father-in-law or somebody who is not an heir. So maximum amount you can bequeath in writing or verbally, and you got witnesses, that will be 1/3 of the net estate. Then fourth one comes to the shares of the heirs. So in mansa dwert is ana mansa bruat, in Afrikaans we say, so you, the husband, passed away. So you're the wife, your share will be 1/8, 12.5%. Then, for example, that you got 3 sons and you got 1 daughter. I'm just making it easy. And his parents already passed away. So you, the wife, 12.5%. Your daughter, also 12.5%. Why? Because now the 3 sons, 25%. So that is how the permutation, the shares will work for the heirs in this scenario. Turn it the other way around, so the wife passed away. Everything what I told you thus far remains the same, only the shares will differ. So in a case like that, we will say that now that their husband is there, he's alive, and now the wife passed away, so his share will be 25%. So in a case like that, so now that when she passed away, this lady, she is survived by a husband, one son, and one daughter. So husband 25%, 50% for the son, and 25% for the daughter. Remember this law, all of you esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar International and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. Five people must inherit in all cases, circumstances, provided that they are Muslim. If they are non-Muslim or murtad and apostates and so forth, then obviously they disqualified, they will not inherit. Who are the five people? The deceased parents, father, mother, biological father, biological mother, son, daughter, so that's four, and the surviving spouse. Husband passes away, wife or wives must inherit. Wife passes away, husband must inherit. So that is how it happens and it works out. I just give you an easy example. Obviously, we need to know exactly who the heirs are.
Mufti Saab, can men wear henna as a substitute to a tattoo?
Can men wear what, Mulana?
Henna, mehndi, as a substitute to a tattoo.
So remember that when you speak of henna, when you speak of that, so Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, Abu Quhafa, the father of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, his hair and the head and beard and everything was gone greyish, whitish. Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Abu Quhafa, the father of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, ghayyiru shayb, they changed this greyish, whitish hair of yours, and you can use henna, you can use mendi, you can use dye, whatever, D-Y-E, and wajtanibu sawat, but you must abstain from the color black, and this hadith is authentic in Muslim Sharif. So yes, if the men, they use henna for their beard, for their hair, all that will be permissible, but not black. You use brown, dark brown like that, all that would be acceptable.
Mufti Saab, when a khatam is completed, some masajid keeps a dry after Taraweeh. Is this permissible?
Not permissible. Remember that it's not only a dry. After that, there's gupshup, and then there'll be rebirth, and then there'll be videoing, and then somebody's wife will come and serve them. Somebody. So look at the harms of it. And it's Ramadan Mubarak, and now you completed the Quran Sharif. What should you do? It is the time when 4,000 angels descend. Go read the book, minimum, where Allama Nawawi Rahimahullah, Kitabul Azkar. Go read Imam Nawawi's Al-Arba'in, the 40 Ahadith compilation. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Remember, he's to gather his family and make a collective dua. So it is time for dua. In the Khatmil Quran, Tanzilu Rahma, special mercy of Almighty Allah descends. It's not time to go and have a braai and all that. And it's the Ramadan, it's not time to go and fry and braai. It's time to cry. Otherwise, on day of justice, you will be dry, my brother. So we are against all that, and it's waste of time, and so many other haram activities take place. So therefore, we say it's all waste of time. Jazakallahu khairan, Mawla Salim Kareem. Inshallah, we will see you 22-6, inshallah. Mawlana, this is just a suggestion of mine. Maybe you should inform the esteemed listeners. I think from tomorrow, our program, there will be some minor changes. So maybe you should just... because our Mawlana Musa Akudi Hafizahullah will be traveling, and inshallah, once he's settled, then we will contact him again. Inshallah al-Aziz. Barakallahu fiqh. Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.